side of the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Greeno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Greeno and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, we're ramping it up, cranking it up, and blowing it up here on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, his XO wingman, man at the con, who's got this puzzled look on his face, Joe D.
Yeah, that's me.
Yes.
Am I coming through? Is the mic working?
Say that again.
Is the mic working?
I do hear you, yes.
Okay, good. No, because there was two mics here. I didn't know if I was supposed to like put one on each side of my face or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. And we could have brought in your son. You could have had three mics.
Yeah, we could have just mic'd it up. You know? I was going to say, when you talk about cranking it up, blowing it up, I was going to say, that was pretty much like a summer night back in the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now we're just cranking. Hopefully nothing blows up, because who wants to clean it up?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You don't want to, that, you know, yes, if you make the mess, you have to clean it up. Your mother taught you that, right?
Oh, yes.
And it was at the expense, and
I had my own Snap-on mop for a while.
Yeah, it was at the expense of a whatever implement your mother preferred, like a slipper, a shoe, a frying pan, a rolling pin. My mother used wooden spoons. It got to a point where she would chase my brother and I around and then, like, hit us with them, but and it would break.
Right.
And I remember, like, we'd try to, like, laugh, like...
Maybe you should go metal, Ma.
Yeah, like, no. It's like, come on.
Here's this nice foam one. You can try
but,
that.
You know, but that's the thing. You're running through the house. You're getting beat. And you know, the retaliation isn't even in your mind. It's your mother. You're not going to, you
exactly,
know, come on.
Yeah,
and it's like...
You probably deserved it anyway, so you sit there and take it.
That and then some. But later on, you know, that's what it was like growing up in an Italian household. I think probably some other types of households, too, were kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I've heard that from a couple different nationalities. The utensil might change slightly, but for the most part, there was some type of impact involved there.
Okay, yeah. You want to sound a little lower on that mic. That'll kick you up a little.
Yeah, well, either that or... How about if I do that? If I talk into this one?
That is good, yeah.
Oh, so I have to stand here and talk like this. It's like...
It's a little flatter. You know what? Put that one away.
I'll put this away.
And just talk into that one.
I'm just talking into this one.
I hear you, yeah, but
oh,
I heard
fine.
You a little
yeah.
better.
Okay, no, because, like I said, there's another mic on the stand here. I felt like I should be, like,
well, it's like
Cronkite reading
like,
the news or something.
It's like being back in the band days. Sometimes you get double mic'd and, you know.
Yeah. Usually that's because I stole it from somebody else, right?
Exactly.
I needed something to lean on in between sets or something like that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But, so, well, we find ourselves in a position again today without a scheduled guest. We had a few that we were try to get in that didn't work. So
yeah, but they sobered up in time, unfortunately.
Exactly. You can call us at 516-572-7440. Get in on the fun and check us out on motormouthradio.com or .net. They both go to the same place right now, so... It doesn't matter. And you can, if you like what you hear on this show, and even if you don't like it, you can follow us on Twitter at Motormouth Radio.
Yes.
And you can see what we do during the week, some of the things we get into, and make suggestions and maybe comments about what you might want to see or hear on the show.
Yeah, and, let us know, because we always want to hear input. By the way, I'm banging because
my
pot should be down a little bit. According to our eye in the sky, or in this case, ear in the sky, I don't know.
He's banging?
No, I'm banging.
Oh, you're banging.
Which I'm not sure is exactly a complimentary term.
I don't know, yeah.
And if
bangers
it was used as a verb, that's really, really gross. there.
Yeah, right, right.
So I don't know what that, but thank you for the input. I'm not sure how that all works. But, no, so we, I don't know about you, but what kind of week did, you know, my week was kind of messed up as far as little projects going on. I spent a lot, I spent the first half of the week waiting for the UPS guy to come.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, the big brown truck.
Yep. And usually it shows up, you know, by the time I get home from job number one.
Yep.
And
what were you waiting for?
Well, we got that 56 Ford Courier in the UD, and
nice car.
Yeah, yeah, it's got a lot of potential, and it's time to get it back into the realm of usefulness. There, it's been sitting for a long time. We got the engine started, you know, a while back, and I noticed that it was. Once I topped off all the fluids and started peeing power steering fluid, and we found out that the slave cylinder, it's got the old school, looks like a shock, you know, with the control valve. You know, a lot of the old Chevys had it too. It's pretty common. And the thing was like just whizzing like a racehorse. So,
right.
Can't find
remember those days?
Yeah, what, the racehorse? Or,
yeah, not with the car, though. You remember?
Yeah, yeah, that's what happens when you get your beverages by the case.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. You know, it's just I never certain, wanted one of those hats, though.
A certain physical dynamic comes into play, too. You could have been drinking water or soda. It doesn't matter. But,
right, but what comes in must go out.
Exactly.
So, you, for this particular car, you couldn't find one.
No.
I mean, there were a couple listed. You know, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, God bless catalogs. You can find a lot of things these days that if you didn't have, you know, not that long ago, if you didn't have like a Camaro or Chevelle or a Mustang, you were screwed.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, a lot of different cars you can find stuff for. And I found this company in Minnesota called Lair's.
Minnesota? Minnesota?
Minnesota, eh? Yeah, they're Canadians who kind of got lost and the compass got out of calibration there. Because they're very nice people. And you know, because they're even courteous when they talk to you. It's not like, yeah, customer service, what the hell you want? These guys were actually pretty cool about it.
What's the company?
It's called Lair's, L-A-R-E-S.
Lair's. Did you pitch them for the show? You have to get into that mode, Joe.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
Every prospective company you deal with is a prospective guest on the show.
I understand that. Yeah, basically, I wanted to get this back in the car. And
I know.
If it splatted up against the wall, like you know, some kind of Quentin Tarantino movie, I don't know if I would want to.
True.
But very nice, very efficient. They completely R&R'd the unit that was in.
Great.
That was in my car, or the car.
Right.
And came back, nice job, reasonable price.
That's even more important.
And now we just got to bolt it in and see what happens.
Okay.
And then the other box, which weighed about like 125 pounds, came from a place called Performance Online, where we got a disc brake conversion kit.
Right.
And the great thing about, you know, as time goes by, you know, disc brake swaps have been around for like ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, even a few years ago, I did the one on the Chevelle. Which was basically just, you know, gather up the factory parts or the repro factory parts from like an early 70s car and just bolt them all in. And you pretty much had to change the entire thing over to the factory setup.
Right.
All right. Now, this car, doing some research because it didn't stop good.
Right.
I mean, it's a friggin' freight train and it's got a big block in it now. So, what happened there is that the swaps that I was reading about involved finding a Granada. Like a 77 Granada.
Which used to be on every corner, every shopping center.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
every driveway in America.
It was like the Nissan Altima of its day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or the Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, exactly. And pretty much what happens there is once you do that, you had to get the spindles, and you still had to machine the spindles to fit the ball joints in
right.
the wood. And then, you know, you could just kind of bolt the whole thing in, and then the hydraulics are always... They're always their own little show, but now there's companies that what you do is you take the stock spindles, they give you bracketry and wheel bearings and adapters, and it's not Rube Goldberg by any means. I mean, this thing here, they pretty much is like two brackets. Now you can hang your calipers. There's one little spacer for the. So that way that the bearing sits, you know, in the correct spot.
Yeah.
And everything just bolts right up.
Nice.
And it's like 67 Mustang.
Do they supply a backing plate or a dust shield with that kit?
No, that did not come with it.
See, I've seen a lot of kits that do not provide that, and I like to have the backing plate.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
And, but then again, I know, just to interject, with the, say, the 90, the Caprices, the 90 series Caprices that we used as police cars.
Right.
I happen to have one of them that's a police car, and I have a 96 Impala. The Impala has backing plates on it. The Caprice police car does not.
I think that's got a different brake system in it, though, too.
No, they're the B-body stuff was into the front brakes are the same.
Yeah, but they probably did that to shed heat or whatever.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They decided to
so that was a weird instance where a factory application didn't have it.
Backing plates would be nice, you know, but at this point, I am just, like, really glad we did not have to rip the entire front out of the car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and start machining stuff and this and that. Pretty much, we kind of experimentally fit one side.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Last night, just kind of dummied it up, you know, before we started packing grease and all, you know, painting it and all that other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe an hour and a half, taking it slow. I mean, it only like about a half a case.
I was going to say how many beers were consumed. Yeah,
it went pretty easy. So I mean, nowadays you can get stuff and you don't have to burden yourself with ancient brakes anymore.
Yes,
you know, which is great if you're gunning for originality. But the thing is that, you know, disc brakes in a car that you're going to drive, especially with any kind of enthusiasm there, you want something that's going to be able to haul it down. Because this is a big... It's a station wagon. It's a big car, and it's got like a 428 in it.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of momentum. A lot of heat energy to dissipate there once we hit the
kinetic
pedal.
Kinetic energy and acceleration. Yeah, it's all that.
It's cool either stuff. That or there ain't enough pillows to put in the front of that car.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's great that they can do that. We were talking about this before the show. We were talking about restoration and catalogs, and at what point, a whole other topic, but at what point in whose eyes does a car become less of a restoration and more of a conglomeration of after offshore parts?
Well, yeah, you've got the conglomeration factor, though, and you've got the fact that if it wasn't for these parts, you'd have a pile of rust in the in the driveway and not a car. I mean, I think what's going to happen is that the real Survivor original cars, or the ones that are accurately restored using NOS stuff, or a car that's all there and then taken down and cleaned up or whatever, those cars are going to be worth more. That's actually going to add to their value.
You know, a few years ago, I think it was the Corvette guys that first, that I know of, that first recognized the Survivor class of cars.
Yes.
Which is just that. Mm-hmm. A car that someone had since it was, well, they didn't have to have it since it was new, but since it was new, the car was driven and used, and besides just maintenance items like filters and brakes and hoses and things like that, everything else is as the way it came from the factory.
Right.
So the seat covers are there, but they're worn, you know. Right. You name it.
It's the car. Yeah, it's the way, maybe not the way it drove out of the showroom, but you've got, it's all Chevy, all Ford, all Mopar, you know what I mean?
Case in point, you know, the Chevelle that I'm working on for Mike, the restoration, has a big block, and the car, the engine was the guy said it was rebuilt, but none of the other components, none of the pulleys, none of the, you know, the carburetor wasn't on it, none of the fittings are on it, there was nothing. So I happen to have under my bench the same year engine that I had taken out of an Impala and put in my Monte Carlo years ago.
Right.
And at the time, I wanted to make it look like it belonged in the car, and since I had something that was original, it was easy.
Right.
And I left it that way.
Yeah.
So I actually pulled it out from under the bench yesterday and took some photos of fittings and things to use now, because it's the Survivor.
Exactly. It's the template. It's the benchmark.
It's the perfect replica.
And sometimes trying to find the benchmark is not so easy these days. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, car shows, you got to go to a show. And
yeah, you know, you got to be there at the right place with the right car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What's going to happen is that, I don't know, I'm not really down on the cars that get restored, you know, through the catalogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because let's put it this way. It's either that or that car would be a rust bucket sitting, you know, with a tree growing through it someplace.
I agree. It's the way, you know, I guess my point is it's the way the car gets advertised.
Right. Well, that's always a...
Because like I said earlier, to me and to you, guys of our age that were building cars in the 70s, at that time a restoration meant a guy was going to a GM dealership, whatever market was, and buying OEM or NOS parts.
That was a good part of my day when I worked for Chevy, because
back there you go.
I was like in the mid-80s, let's say, and I would sit there and I would, you know, order up, you know, quarter panels,
with
door
the sheet
skins,
of numbers, right?
Yeah, and then guys would come in with those, I don't know if you're familiar with assembly manuals.
Yeah, which I'm using for the Chevelle.
Right,
going
right.
The
guys
manual.
Would just come in and say, here, give me page 38, give me page 9, you know, with every stinking clip, every bushing, whatever. And, you know, a lot of that stuff was still available because the car at that point was maybe 12, 15 years old. And
sure.
As long as you had somebody who was willing to pour through the computer to find the stuff in the warehouse, it was available.
The problem at that point was getting the assembly manual. Now that's easy. You can get a repro
online.
That,
you could download. I could probably do half of them on my laptop right here while we're talking.
You're right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to download. We're going to download a break. I think we're going to... This was last week. We were going to do some Lou Reed. We're doing it this week. We're going to take a trip to the Dirty Boulevard, as Lou cues up, because this was one of, you know, I had this song in my head during the week, and I said,
really?
2 weeks ago, I said, you know, I like that song. I always liked it. I'm going to use it on the show. So here it is. Let's take a break. We'll listen to Mr. Lou Reed, and we'll be back with Motormouth Radio in a few minutes.
Pedro lives out of the Wilshire Hotel. He looks out a window without glass. The walls are made of cardboard. Newspapers on his feet, and his father beats him because he's too tired to beg. He's got 9 brothers and sisters. They're brought up on their knees. It's hard to run when a coat hanger beats you on the thighs.
Have a question about your car or someone else's car? Then give the Motormouths a call. 516-572-7440.
Hey, have you seen DJ Solero?
No. Why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Maybe he went to get something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone will figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may have not heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead. Tell everyone when to listen.
Okay then. If you're looking to hear some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session Friday nights at midnight on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Got a car question? Give the Motormouths a call at 516-572-7440.
Outside, it's a bright night. There's an opera at Lincoln Center. Movie stars.
All right, we're not going to the opera at Lincoln Center because we're here at Motormouth Radio in scenic downtown Garden City. Ray Guarino, Joe D. And we're listening to Lou Reed on the Dirty Boulevard as we talk amongst ourselves while the break was going on.
Yeah, we're always chatting up. We're always trying to think of different things to say.
Got to remember, these buttons have to be pushed. Things have to happen. I can't be excommunicated like
What button did you push to make the phone thing flash?
I did, but I'm going to push this button here and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths. Yes, you're on the Motormouths, caller.
Yo.
Yeah, my remark is going to be strange. Can you use me on your show?
Well, who are we talking to, first of all?
My name is Carmine. I've been a used car dealer for 43 years. I'm a mechanic. I know cars in and out. I know everything that's going on in that business.
Oh, very good. You've been local for that many years, Carmine?
Who's cheating and who's not?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we all kind of know those stories. You've been doing this locally on Long Island for a long time?
Yes, I'm from Port Washington.
Oh, very good. How'd you find us?
I heard your thing on the radio just now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in other words, you were trying to find another station, and you came upon us, and, yeah. You know, like watching a train wreck, you had to stop and listen.
You were looking
bit.
For music, and you found us, right?
Right.
Okay, well, good.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. What are you doing currently in the auto industry, Carmine?
I'm a used car dealer.
You are a used car dealer. Okay. You know how...
But I've been doing this. I've done this for 43 years. Believe me, I know every in and out of this business, from the mechanic end to the body shop end to the repairs. I actually have done some consulting for people, you know, who are getting ripped off and help them out with get straightened away places that weren't so ridiculous.
Oh, that's nice. That's, you know, that's, I consider that public service. That's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. And these days there's a need for that, because sometimes you need to have somebody on the outside.
Are you guys a business or just a radio show?
Yeah, we're just a radio show. We're just two guys that they give mics to, and
we are
about
a radio
cars.
Show. Joe and I both have full time jobs, but we also work in the automotive aftermarket repair industry as fourth jobs. So we kind of, you know, we've always been associated with the
field. You want, like, you know, I don't even know if my friend John Ragusa was on your show at one time.
Name is familiar.
Yeah.
Where's he from? What does John do?
Hello?
He was an automobile mechanic in Port Washington at a repair shop.
You know,
I saw pictures of him on a radio show with, you know, the earphones on.
Well, maybe, you know, the name is familiar.
We've been on for like 15 years, so like
16 now, yeah.
Model, okay.
The name is familiar. It could
don't
be.
Don't make me feel old.
But, you know,
it had to be, he got injured at his place of business, so he had been doing it for you at, 10, 12 years ago anyway.
Could very well be, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But,
well, what do you think? You guys can call me and talk to me and get information from me and...
Yes, you know what you do, Carmine? I'll tell you what you do. You send
us an email.
Yes, yeah, send an email to motormouthradio@ncc, just like Star Trek, .edu.
I'll tell you what.
Or you can short track it, mmr@ncc.edu.
Right.
If I give you a cell phone number, would you text it to me?
You want to do that over the air?
Yeah.
We're live. So you put that number out, everybody's going to hear it.
Exactly. So.
What you do? Okay. What you do is go to, is there a link on the website to the email address?
If I go to Motormouth, am I going to find you guys?
Yes.
Sure, Motormouth Radio.
Motormouth Radio, yeah.
.com.net. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask you. I'll send you some information, my name and my number. I don't think I want my number.
Right.
I kind of understand what you're saying. I didn't really understand the format I was on right now.
Yeah, we're live.
I would be interested in doing it, and I think you guys would be happy with my knowledge.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Fair enough. My name is Carmine, and I'll get a hold of you. I'll find you some way.
Okay,
sounds
Carmine.
Good. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for putting me on. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
And that's how it happens, folks. You know, people have always asked, how do we program the show?
Yeah.
And I say, hey, listen, we meet a guy in a supermarket at a cruise night at a shop, and we say, hey, how'd you like to come on the show? We deal with... companies?
Yes, we actually deal with the regular businesses, and sometimes, you know, even we're at car related events or whatever. Oh, are you those guys on the radio?
That's right. and true, it's friends and friends of friends that spread the word.
It's kind of like a virus, you know what I mean? But you can't kill it with alcohol or you know, the rubbing kind, I mean.
Exactly.
And or any of the Lysol or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, but we're always open for new listeners, new contributors.
Yes, and we do need to get a link. We do need to have a link on the website to the email address. That's something that we have to. And I know the right person knows what I'm saying because I know he's listening. So that's great.
Yeah, but, keep listening, Carmine. You know, and we'll talk. You know, just get in touch with us, and it's either that or we're gonna. You know, Port Washington ain't that far away. We'll just stand out in the middle of the street and we'll start yelling.
Sure. So like Carmine, like we were saying, Joe, about restoration. I know we were doing two concurrent stories. You were talking about the Ford. I was talking about the Chevelle. So having the good old Ford-Chevy race is a match-off. And even in the studio in 2018, we're still having a Ford-Chevy debate, and it's odd because you're a Chevy guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
we both are.
Don't forget the Mopars, you know.
Oh, no. Well, Alana Sherwood, I was hoping she was going to call today. She would have been on our Mopar segment. But
Yeah. We'll take anything with the wheels or motor.
Right.
I mean, we have talked about ceiling fans.
We have.
Washing machines.
Yes, we have.
You know, lawnmowers, you know, pretty much if it's got an engine or wires and stuff like that, we will we will talk to you.
If it's suck, squeeze, bang, blow, we're there.
Yeah, and does mechanical stuff, too.
Yeah, that's true, right.
But as far as the resto thing goes, I would definitely rather have a, if it was the choice between nothing. You know, because sometimes having an all-original car, like my Z28, okay.
Right.
I can't touch it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it hasn't been touched.
Right, yeah, it's all original.
But then again, I mean, a car like that, just to divert a little, I mean, that wouldn't be the car you'd be looking at fender flares and, you know, body. I mean, it wouldn't be something you'd be looking to really change drastically.
Right, but I mean, you know, once you lay a wrench on it in the modification mindset, then all of a sudden, like, you know, five-speed. I mean, that car's got a mechanical clutch with a good old Borgwana T10 in it,
yep.
Which is one step up from a truck these days. I mean, you know, it could really benefit from a later model 5-speed,
yeah.
You know, and a hydraulic clutch, especially the way my knees are going. And let's not forget, it's got the mighty 305, 140 horsepower.
We had talked about that with
which
that car.
Which is pathetic because, you know, my Camry's got the same horsepower.
I know.
It's like disgusting, you know what I mean?
But the thing is, though, you get in the Camaro, you pop the T-tops, and just the seating position and the look, you're in a different car, you're in a different world.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And even though arguably it isn't the most powerful, it's still better than the Camry.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, that the car is an excellent cruiser and whatever. But I ever wanted to, you know, if you ever wanted to do modifications to it, because it is a rare car, I don't want to mess with it. You know what I mean?
I don't blame you.
I would rather go out and find like another third generation Camaro and just rip into it.
Or like we were talking about, you know, like you just said before, we were talking about a car that's original. Take the original engine out, stick it under the bench, and now put in a different engine. You know, you can plug and play an engine as long as you know, if it's in the family, you're not doing any kind of surgery. It's just bolt in, bolt out.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, but, you know, once you touch it, it's, you know, some clip breaks.
I know. Yeah.
And the thing about it is that a car like that, you would want to either restore, as in, you know, keep it completely accurate as much as possible, or, you know, or you can go with something that's... doesn't have any kind of what's the word you use? Provenance.
Provenance is a good word. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you know, if the car doesn't, you know, and like third generation Camaros, there was a time where the streets was crawling with them.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and there's still quite a few of them out there.
They're around.
You know, and you could snag one of those and put a late LS.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just dropping an LS with a later model drivetrain.
It comes down to what the owner wants.
Right.
And
it's what you're expecting.
You know, I use myself as an example when I was doing my Pontiac, and Chris had asked me many times, why aren't you doing it stock? And I said, you know, I never thought of that question because it just never occurred to me. It was never even in the ballpark of possibility. But I thought about it, and I said, I'll tell you why. Because if I did it stock, I'd have a 2-speed automatic. I'd have four-wheel drum brakes on 7.75 by 14-inch tires.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Go down the line. I said, and I wouldn't want to drive the damn thing because it'd be a... Eh.
That's what happened to the Chevelle. You know, for those that have seen pictures of the Chevelle, this car was pretty much a time capsule. I mean, mm-hmm. The car was more like refurbished. It wasn't totally showroom original, but it was pretty much on the money. And I couldn't lay a wrench on the thing.
I know.
We were talking about that, and it's like, even down to the... thinking AM radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like, because originally I was like, oh, okay, four-door, got it fairly inexpensive. Okay, that 283 is coming out, mm-hmm. Turbo 350 or at
until
least.
You start it and it just goes vroom, vroom, boom, yeah. It hums.
Yeah.
And you say, why do I want to touch this?
Right, exactly. You know, pretty much that was like a Toyota Camry of its day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or a Honda Accord. You know, it's like, you don't want to screw it. That's what I mean. If a car has a certain level of originality, you know what I mean? You don't want to screw with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? If the thing's a little rough, like, God rest its soul, my split bumper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That car was messed with, you know, 7 ways from Sunday between accidents and, you know, mechanical mistakes and, you know, overzealous driving, let's put it that way. I mean, that car wasn't original. You know what I mean? So, hey, you can drop whatever drivetrain you want into it. You want to slam a set of Dakota digital gauges, something like that?
Yeah,
what the heck? You know what I mean? As long as it doesn't look too far off the...
It's funny. My split bumper was hit. It was hit. Everybody who owned it got hit with the car except for me, but yet it still had the original drivetrain in it, and everything else was, I mean, the hood wasn't original. It had a ZL1 hood on it because it had a, you know, a torque or intake, but everything else on that car was original, and the good thing was at the time, just like we said before, the guy I bought it from was a parts guy at a caddy dealership.
Right.
So when he got hit, he bought the parts through GM. When he lent the car to his buddy and he got hit in it, he bought the parts through GM. So that everything that got replaced was, you know, from Mother GM, which was sheet metal, yeah.
Yeah, back in those days it was available. Yeah, but that's the thing. A car like that, you know what I mean, even though it was all pretty much, you know, all there, I mean, it wasn't showroom down to the last.
Oh, hell no.
The bolt. Nope.
Hell no.
And speaking of nuts and bolts, I think something got into the phone light and shorted it out. Yeah. Now somebody's trying to call
us. Let's see what kind of nuts we got on the line. Say hi, we're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. Me, Rob. How you doing?
Hey,
what's
Rob?
Up, Rob?
Go on,
keep it,
not too much. I'm listening to you talking about the, you know, keep it stock, make some modifications to it. I'm at that same crossroads with this Mustang I'm restoring, you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to ask you to condense it because we're banging up to our break. So, and I know that may be tough with you. That's why I tell you ahead of time.
It's very tough. I might have to call back. No, but you know what it is? I mean, like here, you turn the key, right? Car sat dormant for 11 years. I go, when I put gas in it, a battery, turn the key, it started up like instantly, right?
Nice.
Beautiful.
Oh, so, you know, two-barrel carb, you know, old stockeroni, right? 260 motor. So, you know, you think, oh, maybe I'll put like a four-barrel on it. And then you look at that and you say, why do we want to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. No, you're right. Yeah. And that's why I said it's an individual choice by the owner of what to do, and you have to kind of know what your expectation is for the car down the road.
Yeah, and you know something? We pretty much decided the expectation is it'll stay exactly the way it is, just cleaned up, rebuild the motor. You know, I've already done the body work on it. I've even put, you know, all new everything in it, original, you know.
That's right, down
to the drum brakes, so...
Oh, yeah, then that car should stay that way, sure.
Yeah, and that's exactly the direction it's going. Because the deciding factor, guys, was when I turned that key after 11 years, just picked up right where it left off.
Just like the Chevelle.
Nothing wrong with that.
I can't scratch that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm done.
Okay, Rob, you've just made history, my friend.
I know.
All right. Well, good talking to you, Rob. We'll catch up with you again soon.
You too, guys.
Nice. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was our buddy, Rob, and I think he's right on the money. So with being right on the money, we're going to take another break and a little more Lou Reed. I think this one is a sick of you, but we'll come back in a few minutes and talk more about cars and more about restorations. So let's hear what Kim or Rob have to say.
Let the Motor Mouths help you with all your car questions at 516-572-7440.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Ocean, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the Motor Mouth thing.
Yes, Kim should have said the Motor Mouth thing, and she did. You are back with Ray Guarino, Joe D, and we have another caller on the line, so we'll say hi.
Balls are on fire.
You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, brother, how's it going?
Excellent. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Bob from West Babylon. I feel like you, Joe, and Chris, and all you guests are calling are all like family for me.
Bob, that's great to hear. You're a new caller, too, which is excellent.
Nice to meet you, at least verbally there.
How long have you been listening?
Oh, now 5-6 years.
Oh, what
took you so long?
I love it.
Yeah. No wonder you like family.
You're right, because we are, you know, it is one. Well, if you've been listening for 5 or 6 years, you do know that we are like a family, and our callers are like family, and now you're one of us. So tell us a little bit. What's up?
What's happening?
Give us your life story in a couple seconds.
What drove you to call us?
Yeah, the reason why I'm calling, because going back a number of shows, you guys are talking about some kind of a brake line that was very flexible, and I guess what you said, it was rust-proof and things like that.
Nickel copper.
Bendaflex, yeah. It's actually called Cooper Nickel, which is copper and nickel, and Bendaflex is kind of like the trade name.
Yeah.
It's copper-looking on the outside. It's got a high nickel content, and what I tell you, you can take it and bend it around like a soda can and get a perfect spiral, no problems.
And who do you get that product from? Do you know?
I bought it at my local auto parts store. They had it. They had it in stock in a 25-foot roll. So
yeah, it's available too in at the big chains too in the lengths that they have.
In sticks,
yeah, they call it the sticks. Yeah, with the fittings already on it.
Right.
It's pretty much.
Yeah, or you can flare it yourself, which makes it really easy.
Yeah, if you got the equipment, you know, the toolage and the knowledge for that, but. That stuff is fantastic. I mean, I started using that a few years back.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, on the scale of things, this stuff is like silly putty compared to, say, stainless steel.
Oh, forget about
stainless
it.
Stainless steel, it's like, yeah, you got to have one of your friends come over that works out. And yeah. Then there's the Bendaflex, or actually, I used to call it Bundiflex.
Well, I did, too.
The Al Bundiflex,
I know.
Yeah.
Which
is the regular steel line, which ain't too bad, but the other stuff is great. The
difference is like trying to change one of your friends' minds about going out for something to eat, or your wife. It's like, you know, which one's going to go easier? You know, no question.
Yeah.
And this stuff here is rust resistant, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, it definitely has more corrosion resistance than the standard steel line.
I also saw something in one of the trade magazines recently. It might have been in Motor. It was another brake line that somebody came out with, a major manufacturer that's kind of like has a black coating on it, which is also highly rust resistant.
Yeah, there's a, you know, the metallurgy now, they're able to come up with these new mixtures of metals that are way superior to the stuff that we're used to seeing over the years, you know what I mean? So it does hold up better, number one. And number two, if you have to get under there and bend yourself a line, it no longer becomes like a real... I never had fun doing that.
No.
You know what I mean?
We've all done it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thing that happens. And for some reason, I noticed at the shop, there's been more brake line failures over the years. The GM trucks
from
the early 2000s, GM actually kind of finally gave in, and they started making brake line kits.
Thank God.
And there's another aftermarket.
Silverados, Tahoes,
Yeah, because they just rust. Used to get years and years out of brake lines.
Yeah,
not anymore. Now these cars are like maybe 10 years old, 12
The stuff
years
I
old.
Took out of my 65 Pontiac, granted, it was time, but it still held fluid, held pressure, and, you know, they just don't make like these. Bob, does that mean you're working on a project?
Yeah, I have a F-150, it's a 98, and I got to replace the front line on it. So
okay.
Instead of replacing it with stainless steel, I want to put in this other stuff if it's better, you know, you were talking about.
Well,
it's good.
The thing with stainless is, because I have a combination of stainless lines in my car and some of the Cooper Nickel. The stainless stuff I bought pre-made, you know, pre-flared with the fittings and bent, but for the application, you know, because you're not going to bend it. You know, and you need special tooling to flare it. So if you're buying stainless, make sure you can get it pre-made for the vehicle.
Okay.
The other stuff you can do yourself, and it's a piece of cake.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, all right. That nickel-coated line you were talking about, how is that? Is that pricey? What's the price on that?
It's not terrible.
Yeah, you know,
it's not terrible.
It's actually Cooper Nickel. It looks like copper, but it's got a high level of nickel mixed in the alloy. For the 25-foot roll, of course, I get a different price matrix, but I think I paid, I'm trying to remember, what did I pay, $20, $22?
Yeah.
So maybe it was $30 over the counter, I don't know.
Are you used to bending and flaring, you know, double flaring and all that good stuff? Or is that something you're comfortable with doing?
Yeah, I've done it before. I have those tools, you know. I mean,
okay, good. So in other words, so if you get a big coil of the stuff, you know, it's cheaper than buying the little sticks.
You have to buy the ends, though.
Yeah, you have to buy the fittings, of course. And they had nice little assortments, because we were discussing like that last night when we were talking about running the lines on the courier.
Because you never know what you need. You always need the one you didn't pick up.
Uh-huh.
I usually go into the store, and I go in the back, and I just open the drawers. I just start taking like
half handfuls
and throw it. Yeah, I want these.
They should sell that stuff by the pound.
I like nuts. But, Bob, the other thing you could do is, you know, if you don't want to flare the stuff yourself and deal with the fittings, buy the pre-made lines, and they come in different lengths, from everything from like a foot up to like 6-8 feet.
Yeah,
and you can work with those.
All right. Then I appreciate the information. You guys really do have a great show.
Well, great. We appreciate the comment there.
Thank you. And now that you're in the family, don't be a stranger. Call back and keep us up on that project.
Okay. I'll do.
All right, Bob. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
So long.
Look at that. We got another one.
Excelente.
Yeah. No, that brake line stuff, I mean, we were having that discussion last night about using that type of stuff because on this particular car, we're going to have to run a lot of brake line.
Uh-huh.
So it's Johnny Wrench, he's real good with the...
But you're converting the front, not the back.
Yeah, but, you know, that's 62-year-old...
You're
going to
change the back?
Yeah, well,
okay.
We got to get further back into it. We may have to.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Especially
right.
with the routing and so
forth.
That
makes sense.
You know, but...
you need long pieces.
Yeah, seriously.
You need the roll.
On that thing. Well, not only that, but, you know, the amount of older cars that we come in contact with... And the fact that if you have stuff that's readily bendable, you know what I mean? The other stuff, I don't know, when I first started doing brake lines back in the day, I probably, you know, it's like you probably wreck a couple until you got, you know, depending on how you had to route it, you probably wreck a couple. So that means you had to buy like three of them.
But the ones you wrecked now become cut down little pieces for other projects.
But still, you know what I mean? If you can get it the right the first time, especially now with the stuff in the coil,
right?
You could just kind of, it's like wire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to sit there and, you know, order up a particular, you know, wire or maybe even wire harness.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you got terminals and you got the right tools, you could do that too, you know?
I was doing enough of that for a while where I just wanted to have the display that they have in the auto parts store. You know, that cardboard box with all the different lengths. I just wanted one of them by the wall. Like, I just want to walk over and just pick out the piece I want.
Yeah.
You know?
Because especially, you know, if you're dealing with an older car where something rotted, depending on your time and your situation, you probably should do more of them, if not all of them. But
I have to also say that if you are going to take on a brake project like that or like what Bob is doing, let's remember, you know, safety is of extreme paramount here, and it's your safety and whoever else you put in that vehicle or whoever else is around you on the road. So if you don't know how to flare and you're not comfortable with it, then buy the pre-made lines.
Right.
And even if you can, have a buddy just double check, look over your shoulder and make sure that you know, just get another set of eyeballs on the job.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to double check, you know, especially like, even though somewhere along the line, they're now... not inspection failures. You know, people use compression fittings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Don't use that guy. I mean, if it's a matter of, like, getting home, you know what I mean? That's one thing. But do not make permanent repairs with that stuff because all it takes is one good slam on the brakes at the wrong time. And if you're slamming on your brakes, that probably means it's a semi-emergency situation. It could let go because there's a lot of pressure in brake systems.
Sure.
Tons of pressure.
Well, thousands of pounds, yeah.
Yeah, so under the circumstances, you want nice, flared, fully set up fittings, you know?
And that's the thing. Even if you, again, if you're not fully competent or comfortable with this, that's the kind of job we talk about all the time, that there's no shame in farming that out to someone who does know what they're doing. You know, you'll have more peace of mind with the money spent than if you're going to get in the car and say, oh my God, is this going to work? Because now you got to bleed and flush the brakes too.
Right.
And if you're not confident about that procedure, which of course you want to wear safety glasses and gloves when you're doing that because brake fluid stings.
Oh yeah, it does.
You ask me how I know.
Yeah, I kind of got I got besieged with it yesterday at the shop. I was helping somebody bleed out a brake system, and it got stupid. Real
and they say, here, take this icy cold beer in a bottle when you. It's like, here, have this. Pick up this greased fish, Joe. Hey, thanks. Bing.
Yeah, and next thing you know, you're chasing it down the shop floor. And then or if there's a puddle of brake fluid, you go sliding in it, which is pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
I was expecting them to start holding up the cards with, you know, like 9.5, 3.
The Olympics are in vogue
exactly,
right now.
Except
so.
We weren't in Korea there, you know, so
right,
it wasn't...
Right. Well, you were close. You know, Fu Ying, you weren't too far.
Yeah,
either.
Exactly, yeah, so that kind of counts.
Yeah.
But, no, that stuff, there's another name for that stuff. I'm trying to think. I think it's called poly armor.
That I haven't seen. That may be another manufacturer.
Yeah, but that's another terminology that they use. They sell that in the big retailers, too.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You know, so there's a number of ways you can go about it.
Yeah. Well, I got to mention this because if you are doing brake line stuff or restoration work, sometimes you get a little stressed out and you want to kind of unwind. I usually like to sit in the garage with a nice cup of coffee or beverage of choice, maybe have a nice little cigar. I got the right music on, and I'll sit there and do some bench work, you know, some just some mindless stuff to kind of to decouple. I like to put my mind's transmission.
The show is mindless stuff.
Yeah, well, that too. That's what I think about was the show.
Yes.
I put my mind in neutral. But you could also tune in to WHPC Thursdays at 3:30 and listen to a show called Music is Therapy, which is hosted by registered music therapist Larry Carlson. This show looks into the music's effect on human health, which I find totally fascinating.
Yeah, so, seriously. Yeah, music soothes the savage beast there. And okay, now I got to go get the chair. Where's the whip?
Yeah,
come on. I got to go out in the other room and get the whip because I don't keep that there. I usually just keep the mop.
We're going to whip ourselves into our last break, and then we're going to come back and finish up with this resto stuff. So for Joe D, Ray Guarino, keep it where you got, a little more Motormouth Radio. We'll be coming right after this break.
Your car not running right? Let the Motormouths help you out at 516-572-7440.
Good evening, Mr. Walheim. And Ponza, how are you? You have so much in common in the things you do. And here comes Jesse Jackson. He talks of common ground.
Attention Nassau Community College students. College-wide scholarships are now available. All applications must be submitted online at ncc.edu/scholarships by 11:59 p.m. on Wednesday, February 28th. For departmental scholarships, you can visit your academic department for more details. Have a question? Contact Colleen O'Hara at 516-572-0670 or email scholarships@ncc.edu.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Have a question about your car or someone else's car? Then give the Motormouths a call, 516-572-7440.
The way I call you on Farrakhan and Ponder.
All right, as the political rantings of Lou Reed aside, you are back with Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D over here at the con, and we're just kind of doing stuff on the break again that we are.
Yeah, we, you know, it's really funny. We should actually come up with some kind of a show of the stuff that comes up on the break.
Or like have a video feed to show everybody what goes on, like Chris had done years ago with Vaughn Live. That just came up over the weekend. I was talking with the web guy about that, and I said, yeah, that was kind of, it wasn't perfect, but it was, people liked it. You know, I wasn't the biggest fan in the beginning, and then I learned that, hey, you know what, I guess it's not so bad. So, yeah, there's room for everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's face it, it's the 21st century. There's different ways of communicating and putting yourself out there.
Yes.
And let's face it, that maybe we should, I guess we'll have to learn how to embrace technology more.
Well, we are. Like I said, Twitter is the newest thing. We're getting into that.
I got to learn how to Twitterpate. You know, I got the app now, but like, I have to figure out how to use it. You know, one of the bad things, though, is it's on my phone.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know,
you can put it on your desktop.
Yeah, but I'm usually someplace where I have my phone there.
Right.
And basically, I can't see no more. My eyes aren't that big, but I can't see no more. Last night, I was trying to look stuff up, you know, at the UD regarding the brake lines and, you know, making choices like the master cylinder and stuff like that. And then, like, look, guys, I'm going to do this when I get home. I can't see this stupid thing
no
more.
You get Wi-Fi in there?
No, at some point...
I didn't think so.
No.
What, do you hang, like, a wire out the window with some aluminum foil?
We have one of them HD antennas that we hang out the window. Oh, okay. You know, the flat white panels there.
Yeah.
And we were thinking about, you know, aiming something at the satellites, but there's solar panels up there, so...
Ah, yeah.
You got to be careful. At some point or another, something gets cooked.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But we're trying it. We're trying, let's face it. Computers and the internet is an integral part of doing cars these days.
Yeah. Well, even like with, you know, with the Chevelle, we'll get back to that. I know that, you know, the owner, the guy who's Mike, the owner, he's been buying everything from ground up restorations.
Right.
So what I do is when I saw that I needed some additional parts or I needed a reference for a part, I go to that website because this way I can give him their part number in case he has to order it. And just instead of, you know, coming with a year one thing, I'll just give him, hey, this is what your guy, you know, because he's kind of throwing it all in with that place, which is, I agree with that to a large degree.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always the thing about if a business does right by you, you should inhabit them there.
And you know what? Even if our callers don't do right with us, we will go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
What's up, Mark?
What's happening, Mark?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, my voice is not back yet, sorry.
Well, you are back okay. Somewhat. Mark, if you... Well, you know what? Blow your voice out. Mark has this... It's no fault of yours. It's kind of funny. All week, I get to the shop, I started digging into the car, doing the work... And my phone, and you know, I put my phone on the toolbox, and I check it because you know it could be someone in the family stuck under a
somebody important.
And it's Mark, and the text is like 1, 2, 3 screens. Like, what the hell is he doing? I'm like,
obviously, you don't have that problem with the fat fingers like I do.
I got to digest this and figure out an answer to this. Like, oh my word! So, what's happening, Mark?
What's happening?
Well, the issue I texted you was a non-issue because I don't care about it right now. It's sitting there.
Nice.
The next, okay.
Was that the Cavalier?
The Lumina.
Is he 24?
All right. Okay. Long story short, the Lumina got stuck on a parkway. Southern State. My friend, my nephew had it.
Hey.
I went up there with the Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
The battery was kind of so-so, and I jumped it. Anyway, long story short, it was hooked up for about a half hour. I was trying to start the Lumina.
Right.
Get back in the truck. And the voltage gauge is like down to like 10 volts maybe.
Yipes.
So I drove home with it that way with the lights off.
Right.
And I get home, I'm testing that. Oh, geez, the alternator took a dump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good choice of words.
Yeah, well, you know, just could be worse.
You're no radio, I know.
You can commend it there.
So I changed it, and same thing. I said, you know, well, first of all, I want to complain about the connector on those Ford alternator. There's two connectors. One, when you get the rebuild, it says, do not remove this plug or your warranty is void.
Okay.
My neighbor's a Bronco guy. He goes, yeah, there was most of them are like that.
Right.
So, anyway, so I didn't do it, and you're dealing with pigtails because now you have to cut the wiring to the plug, basically, and there's like a little thing. You stick it in, you crimp it, and I soldered it. Anyway,
yeah,
did it all. Same thing.
What year is that Bronco?
So, pardon me?
What year is that Bronco?
It's a 1990. Anyway.
5.8?
Two alternators later.
Yeah.
Okay, so the original, the one I got yesterday, and the mm-hmm. second one I got yesterday.
Right.
Same problem. It's not the alternator. So I'm looking around here and there, and apparently these things have fusible links all over the place.
I was just about to ask you, did you pop any links? Okay.
I don't know, but I was looking online last night, and apparently... the fusible link is a green wire runs to the solenoid on the fender.
Off the top of my head, what motor is in that car?
302, five liter.
The reason why I'm asking you these questions, I'm interrogating, as you're talking, I'm trying to bring up a diagram real quick.
Okay, well,
so, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, so I see a green. It says it's a 14 gauge green wire, whatever. But I find a green wire under there, which looks like it has a fuse holder on it. Okay, the old style fuse holders.
Uh huh.
And I, of course, I couldn't get it apart. There's no way to take
it apart.
It
was crimped together?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, it's like two halves, like an old-style glass fuel holder, but the thing would spin. There's no gateway to it.
Right.
Okay. So, well, long story short, I got it off, and, of course, there's no fuse in it, just like some kind of connection.
That is like a fusible link.
Yeah, more than likely.
It's
a smaller gauge wire in a length of larger gauge wire, which in effect works as a fuse, hence the term fusible link.
Did it have like the thing that looked like a fuse hole that looked kind of like a barrel, like a rubber barrel kind of looking thing?
Yeah, it looked like a plastic barrel about maybe.
Yeah, that's a fusible link.
That's it.
It sure as hell is.
You found it.
Yeah, cha-ching. Okay.
Okay, so I mean, the wires don't look like they're bubbled or anything. What do I do? Can I just jump it out to see if it's as a test?
Yeah. I mean, okay, here's the thing with that. If you jump it out, all right, make sure that you use a wire of sufficient gauge.
Mm-hmm.
Because thinking what color was it, like blue?
It was a green wire, but it wasn't 14 gauge. It looked like, I don't know,
it wouldn't be
10 gauge smaller, like cheap speaker wire.
So it would be more like an 18
Yeah, right. Even less.
As a rule, fusible link is 4 gauges lighter than the actual wire in the circuit. Now, the reason why I'm saying is that you might have popped the fusible link because you were trying to charge up the Lumina. Okay?
Right.
In which case, the dangerous condition is probably not existent right now. So putting a jumper wire in place for a short time isn't that big a deal.
Yeah, just to see if I get proper voltage.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this. On that alternator there, you have an external regulator, right?
It's part of the alternator.
Okay, yeah, because some of them are internal. The reason why I'm saying is that you've got the fairly heavy wire, which actually carries the current back to the back to the battery. You know what I mean? And then you got the other ones that activate. Do you hear the alternator, like, I use the word singing?
Mm.
You know, ever hear when an alternator charges? It kind of makes that high pitch.
Yeah, it's kind of buzzing, whiny sound.
Are you hearing anything like that?
No, not at all. It runs fine. Just the voice.
That's a normal sound.
Right, and hearing it isn't necessarily a good thing.
Right. I would say, well, as far as testing the fusible link, it's just a piece of wire. So what you do in a case like that, an ohmmeter...
It has to be out of the circuit, though.
Yeah, I mean, basically, just check it with a test light. You know what I mean? Even if it's a matter of isolating it, putting a jumper wire on one end of it, and putting your test light on the other end of it, and just see if it lights up the test light, want it. But you want to make sure it carries current. I think from
it can also show continuity, but not carry the correct current.
Well, that's why I'm saying use a test light, use a load, because
if you
got two strands of wire in there,
right?
Then of course you're going to see something on the ohmmeter, but not as far as actually the ability to carry a load. because you left the thing on there a long time. The
yeah, I mean, I didn't even think it was about a good half hour actually.
Right.
Yeah.
What color that wire went? It goes directly back to the alternator, or
okay? There's a harness goes to the alternator with two sets of one harness and another one. They go together.
Right.
And for the most part, a heavy lead goes to the start of the relay. But the green wire itself that we're talking about,
right,
doesn't seem to be physically connected to that, but it goes into a bigger harness, so I don't know where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the one I think it is, that's the A terminal of the alternator, which should be carrying, it's not the, it doesn't actually carry the charging current. That's, according to this diagram that I'm looking at, that's the black and orange. But that's like the sensing.
Oh, the field wire, the sight.
Yeah. The field is the orange and blue, but if that A wire, if that A terminal is dead. So basically what you would do is you would go from the A terminal, which should be like a yellow wire with a white stripe at the alternator.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And
okay, good.
And then the other side, go to battery turn, battery positive. Start the thing up and see if it starts singing. You know what I mean? Like, what I'll do sometimes, I'll just, like, connect it and disconnect it real fast while the engine's running.
Right, right.
And you'll actually hear the engine slow down slightly.
Yeah, like
under a load, sure.
Yeah. You probably, it's 28 years old.
Yeah.
Car,
and you're running out of cars, Mark.
You'd think?
Yeah. I know, you're getting down to the bottom.
Yeah. Same thing goes with the Lumina died on the road, too. Hopefully.
Yeah, I still didn't really diagnose that. It's just sitting there because it was just too cold to go out and mess with it,
Hopefully that alternator didn't take a dump. That alternator is hellacious.
That's a nightmare to get to.
Only eclipsed by the starter in having to try to change something that's a pain in the neck.
Yeah, no, anything that's not on the top of the engine on that car, and even then, that's the top of the engine ain't that fun. That's a tough motor.
Is that considered a J-body?
Lumina? No, that's a W-body.
A W-body, okay.
Grand Prix, Lumina, Cullis, right. You know what I mean?
Well, my gas station guy says that alternator better not go because...
Yeah.
Oh, that thing is horrible. No,
that's W for you won't want to do it.
Yeah. Wee-wee.
Yeah.
You wee-wee won't. Yeah.
Wee-wee won't want to do it.
Yeah. It could be something stupid, too, though. Yeah, you got to do a little troubleshooting because the last thing you want to do is take that stupid thing. You know, that has...
Could have popped the regulator?
Well, the regulator's internal.
I know, but still, it's a circuit.
It could be something. Anything else stop working? Because, like, I think there's a fuse that operates the field terminal off the top of my head. You got to do a little
troubleshooting.
Everything
else seems to work. I mean, I can drive the car around, the truck around, rather.
Yeah.
And just is putting out 11 volts.
Right.
And you know what's weird? The heavy line's coming off the alternator on the side.
Right.
They're both black heavy lines, and they both have brown stripes to them.
Ah. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
That's about right, yeah. But, yeah, if you want to use a jumper wire, and I think the wire that you're dealing with there is the yellow with white. Use a, you know, you could take, you got access to like high amperage fuses, like say 40 amp fuses, something mm-hmm. like that. You know, make a fuse jumper.
Yeah.
You know, and just
yeah.
like, you know, start the thing up. It might pop because it will try to charge because the battery's so damn low. You know what I mean?
Well, actually, I was charging the battery yesterday, so it's really not too bad at all.
Okay, yeah. In other words, at that point, you know, the alternator won't be trying to crank out maximum amperage. You know,
right.
It's only past, like, say, 20 amps or something. Like, a 30 amp fuse will suffice just momentarily, you know, to get things mm-hmm. going.
Good idea.
But a popped link is definitely in the running, as far as I'm concerned, you know, based on the scenario.
Great. Okay, look, I'm sorry to take up your time and change the story
on
you.
That's what we're here for, Mark.
Okay. I was outside, you know, with the mouth and then, you know, whatever. Oh, let me call.
Got it.
Not a problem.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
This stuff.
Okay, Mark, thanks.
Take care, man.
I'll get back and thanks for your help.
All right.
You got it.
Yeah,
take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye,
yes.
Of course, that was Mark, and hopefully we'll follow up on that and find out what's going on.
Remote troubleshooting.
Yeah.
I just had flashbacks, yeah.
Yeah. So we're at the end of the show again, Joe. We do not have a scheduled guest for next week, but we have the couple that were in the wings that I'm still going to scout this week.
Yeah, I might give the folks over there at those two companies I mentioned a shout.
Sure.
You know what I mean? There's a couple people I want to contact. Maybe we'll get them in here.
Absolutely.
Or actually virtually because they're out of state.
I want to get Kim in here, too, because she's got a show to do.
Yeah, that's right. Thunder Road is on the horizon over there.
Stay tuned for Kim Tracy and the best of Springsteen and people who played with the band on Thunder Road. Because,
yeah, you know, anything Springsteen related, you know.
I know people love that show.
Yeah, exactly. It's cool. It's definitely cool.
There's actually people that listen to the end of this show just so they can hear the beginning of that show.
Right, which is why we usually have to try harder then.
And here she comes. So with no ado, we will say adieu and catch you next week on Motormouth Radio.
Adios.
See ya.